The triad is a lively scene. As springtime dances in, homeowners are ready to sell, and their built equity is a win. Great homes will be for sale, with a new deal behind each door. The Sharp Mortgage Team is excited to help in the spring of 2024. With wisdom and commitment, we'll help you chart your move. A quick conversation and pre-approval will get you in the groove. With pre-approval secured, you'll be steps ahead, you'll see, ready to embrace the home buying journey with confidence and glee. From cozy cottages to sprawling estates, you'll find the perfect fit, and your real estate agent's skill set help and determined grit. With a wealth of knowledge and a heart for your buying success, we'll navigate the housing market, ensuring nothing less. Don't let the media fool you. You deserve a wonderful new nest. With the Sharp Mortgage Team, you're poised for nothing less than the best. Embrace the warmth of springtime, flowers, and skies of blue. Partner with the Sharp Mortgage Team. We're always here for you.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode here on the Triad Podcast Network. We're talking money. We're talking finance with our certified financial planner, Jennifer Johnson from Three Magnolias Financial Advisors. And I know there's a lot of people out there that listen to podcasts when they're outside doing yard work, mowing the grass, whatever you're planting, working in the garden. God bless you people doing it this time of year with all this pollen out in the air. Oh my gosh. Spending time outside is great. And especially now because it's not so humid and hot yet. But I don't know about you, Jennifer. This year, I might trade working out in the extreme heat and humidity for not having to be outside amidst all this pollen. It is brutal, yeah. As you can hear in my voice today.
Yeah, you can see it on the cars. We've got yellow cars driving around and sidewalks. I know you're toughing it out. And people, you just don't know Adam's commitment to this podcast.
That's right. That's right.
He's fighting through it for your benefit. So treat him right in the comments. If you hear him sounding a little bit nasally, no, he's toughing it out for you guys.
Well, we're not here to talk about pollen season. We are here to discuss in late April/early May graduation season. Early May is typically college graduation season. Then as we get closer to June and into June, it then becomes high school graduation season. And so typically, Jennifer, this time of year, we've talked a lot around college financing, whether it's student loans or student debts. Those two go hand in hand. Or we've done episodes on how to manage money when you're a college student, those kind of things. But today, the big question that we're going to dig into, and I think it's a worthwhile conversation, especially when you look at the data. When it comes to the cost of tuition or the cost of attending college, because it's not just tuition, it's a lot more than that. Right. But the thing we want to talk about is college worth it? And this is not a should you go to college because is it going to get you a better career? This is more of a mathematical, you know, taking a look at numbers and long-term and looking at it more as an investment, right? And that's really what the question revolves around. So,
I think it's more than money, right? Like it certainly has those abilities to develop you as a person, but you know, me being a financial planner and, you know, helping people, sometimes young people, especially if, you know, we do some small business workplace retirement plans. And so a lot of times I'll encounter people really new in their careers sometimes in that, and definitely have had conversations with folks. We've talked about student loans and debt on the podcast before, and just recognize like how much that is a burden for that new college graduate. So it's more than that, certainly, when we think about college, and we don't want to diminish that. But I think what we hope for today is to think about, you know, certainly the financial impact of going to college, right? Versus those benefits, especially as people start out as young adults, you know, what does that mean to them financially?
Yeah. And so, I mean, look, there's, like you said, we might look at this as the investment, as you invest this much over 4 or 5 years or any years you go to college, you invest that much. And then what's your return? And return being your salary and what you do later in life. There's obviously more to that than just the monetary benefit of your career when college, like you just touched on. But what are some of the factors that we're going to explore here to help us? We're not going to try to necessarily answer the question, but we're going to give people a lot to think about if they're asking themselves the question.
Yeah, that's right. And I do think people are more savvy than they used to be about, you know, taking on the expense of college, right? And I think that's good. And we'll talk about some stats in here about student debt and, you know, what the cost of college is going to be too, and maybe just help people understand and be a little bit more thoughtful about that investment of, you know, time and money, right? Because you're making that commitment to go through a college program for at least 4 years that you could be pursuing something else, right? You could be starting a business. You could be having other experiences that might develop you. So you've got that opportunity cost of 4 years of your life, right? And then you also have the financial cost that you're investing in the school. And I think it's important for people to be thoughtful about that. I know when, you know, I'll speak to when I went to college. So I went to college in the 90s. And I think that was kind of the height of a push for everybody to go to college, you know, and the thought was like, it's always going to be a good investment and just pay the money. Even if you have to borrow it, because there are all these stats, and we'll speak to it about how much more you earn throughout your career. If you get a bachelor's degree, or if you graduate from college in general, you know, you're going to earn so much more throughout your career. So it was thought of, I think, when I went, and I'd love to hear if you felt the same, Adam, because I know you're younger than me. I think today people are thinking about it differently. I hope they are, because, you know, folks of my age, I'm 46. So I think that was really the beginning of people taking on a lot of student loans that became a burden, unfortunately, for a lot of people, and is still growing. Now, I think people need to be more thoughtful about it. Like, you know, go into college with some idea of what are your career goals, right? Some sense of it. I mean, I don't think any of us, certainly I went to college. I was even quite 18. I turned 18 about a month later, and I had no idea I'd be sitting at this desk, you know, doing this. I had different ideas at the time, but I think everything I was interested in required at least a 4-year degree. So, you know, in that case, it makes sense. You know, if you're not sure about that, I think especially with some of these more expensive programs, you know, I think we need to be thoughtful about that, thinking about what are your career goals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, for me, it was very similar. My profession doesn't necessarily require a 4-year degree, but it requires experience.
Right.
You know, and I would have never gotten the experience that I did at an early age if not for college. And so being at college, and that's because a lot of my main line of work right now revolves around college athletics. And so, how do you get experience in college athletics at an early age unless you're a student at a college? And
that's true. Yeah.
So it's a little unique in that way. But, you know, now I think there's so many different lines of work that people can go into now than there were before. I mean, well, let's face it. Everybody wants to be a YouTuber, a TikTok star. And so you don't need to go to college.
Right. That apparently does not require a degree.
Correct.
And did not exist when I went to school, for sure.
Correct. But, you know, we are such a digital economy now that, if you want to be a software engineer or you want to develop, you know, one of my kids wants to be a video game designer. Yeah. You can go to college for that, but there are also other paths to getting the certifications and the experience that you need. And so I think that's the thing. So yeah, to your point, like you really have to think about, you know, do you want to be a veterinarian? Okay, well, yeah, then probably college is a good path for you. Do you want to be a lawyer? College is a good path for you. That absolutely has to be where it starts, is Okay, well, you don't know if it's a good investment unless you know what you're actually investing in. And that's where it starts is, and if kids don't know what they want to be, which a lot of them won't when they're 18, 19 sure. years old, that's okay. But right. let's figure out what we're trying to get out of this before we actually just say, oh, well, college is always the key to a better life. Right. You don't know that unless you know what you're trying to get out of it.
Yeah. And I do think that was the way when I was young, it was everybody should go to college, meaning in college, meaning a 4-year program too. Not necessarily. I think people are more savvy about this now, or at least I hope they are. If not, I hope this brings some of those thoughts to mind. But, you know, there's community college programs, yep. right? There's coding camps. There's, you know, all these ways that people can get education and, like you said, get actual experience, maybe depending upon what you want to do, and not necessarily pursue a traditional 4-year university or college degree to do that. Because at some of those programs, I mean, we've talked about it before, especially private universities, man, the expense, right? Mm-hmm. It's high. I mean, and so if you think about that as an investment, If you really have no idea, and I think it varies certainly with your family situation, right? I mean, if you're, and I guess I should apologize to anyone who might be graduating in like 2 weeks from college, right? That we didn't do this before.
Yeah, so yeah.
Maybe just go ahead and turn it off, you know, if you're,
yeah.
I guess I shouldn't say that, but.
Their life could have turned out, their last 4 years could have turned out totally differently.
yeah. And you're now, we go back and listen to the one about how to handle student debt, right? Yeah, we'll just skip this one. But, you know, as you're thinking about entering, you know, your career goals and like, how are you going to pursue higher education? You know, I hope it gives them some things to think about, you know, and especially if you think about the numbers, which of course is where we generally come in. You know, does that make sense if you don't have a clear career path and you know you can't afford some of these private universities that are
right.
60 to, I think you said you had read one university was maybe getting up close to $100,000 a year.
For the cost of living, basically. It was.
Yeah, with everything.
It was a story from about a week or two ago that the University of Miami, which is a private school in Florida, that the it says attending the University of Miami for the 24-25 school year will cost students over $93,000.
Wow. Yeah.
That's one year. That's 1 year.
Yeah.
That's not even total. That's not even all in. I mean, in right. you know, public schools, you know, I mean, it's still a lot of money, but you're talking about $150,000 all in for 4 years at some place.
Right. That's right. That's a whole experience. So right. I think, you really got to think about that. Like if going and we're not beating up the University of Miami, maybe that's perfect for you. And if your family can afford it, I mean, kudos to you. But for most families that are also trying to save for retirement, especially if you have multiple kids, you know, that can be a pretty big hump to get over. And I think what I would say to people is you need to have a really clear path of why that makes sense as an investment. You know, if you're doing that and you're going to take on loans and you're going to teach high school English,
right. I mean,
God help you, you know, you're probably going to be paying on those loans for your full career.
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe you can still teach high school English and go a different path. You know, that's what I would encourage people to be thoughtful about, which is, I think, not the way we thought about it when I went to college. It was just go. And
just go.
Figure it out.
Go and figure yourself out and develop as an individual for 4 years. And I mean, look, at University of Miami, that's a lot of money. Now, Miami has one of the best medical schools in the nation. And so if you're going there to go to med school and get into that profession and make seven figures potentially down the road, then probably a good investment. Yeah. But like you said, if you're going to Miami and you end up, no offense to teachers, I wish they were making millions of dollars, but they're not. And be a you know, a high school teacher, then probably not a great investment. So
Absolutely.
But I think what you're saying, Jennifer, is this is a time of year when. Or this is a time in our society when let's be a little analytical about these decisions in terms of, hey, why do you want to go to this school? What program is it that they have that you're interested in? Right. And then let's look at, okay, well, so you want to be this. Let's look at average starting salaries for this profession and things like that. So I think that's what you're saying though, right?
It is. Yeah, it really is. I think in the past, sometimes too, there's been a stigma if you don't go on right away from college, right, to a four-year university. Hopefully that's changing a little bit now. I think sometimes people have felt some social pressure to go and take that path, irregardless of the cost. I mean, I think there is some wisdom there, I think, of not being pressured into that, because I found a really great article in Forbes that maybe we can share for listeners to refer back to, because it's got a lot of really great data. Because one of the things, you know, we talked about, which we've heard before, you know, if you get a bachelor's degree as opposed to just a high school degree, you know, you earn so much more over your life, you know, maybe earn $1 million, you know, more than you would have if you just simply finished your education, you know, at high school. And certainly some of those things are true, but that so-called like college premium, you know, that extra income and wealth you're building by going to college has been declining in recent years. At the same time, the cost of attending college has been escalating, like we've just talked about. So it's led people, I think, to question, and I think there's a ton of factors behind that, right? Because you've probably got some data in there where people are, you know, making a lot of money off YouTube and all of these other things that haven't invested in college, right? And then you've got people that have spent a lot on college because they thought that was the right path, and then found their career that they intended on pursuing either, you know, it's not earning as much as they thought, or it's changed a lot due to technological change. Maybe they're not earning as much. So that premium has been going down. So it's interesting to me, you know, we've seen, you know, the costs really escalate. I mean, this particular article mentioned how, I guess, the biggest increases have been in private universities, which makes sense. Between 2011 and 22, increased by 14%. So that's a pretty big jump, you know, increases annually. Now, public schools, and we've talked about this before, there's a huge difference between public and private costs.
Yep.
Only went up by about 6% over that same decade. So really big disparities, you know, between the two, but still significant costs, right? So they both have gone up a lot. You know, I think probably the University of Miami is like on the higher end for sure, but interesting data I saw in here for a four-year bachelor's degree. And this would be about a year old. I don't think they've published the data for 23, 24 graduates, but for prior years, if you went to a public university, which I think this is right in line with our public universities in North Carolina, that students would spend about $104,000 for that time there. And I think you'd have to be frugal, honestly, at our universities here, because it's running $20,000 to $25,000, I think, depending upon living situation.
Yep.
Here. And those numbers go up to where if you go to a private nonprofit school, you know, to around $223,000 is the number. So you're approaching $250,000, you know, in that example, and that's just an average. So, you know, like you said, you've got some that are, you know, some that are higher in there too.
Who's ready for movie night? Our friends at the Ginther Group Real Estate are proud to sponsor another season of Innovation and Cinema at Bailey Park in downtown Winston-Salem's Innovation Quarter. The next film is Everything Everywhere All at Once and will be shown on Friday, May 17th. Bring your chair or blanket to Bailey Park for a great night of cinema from Aperture and food from a variety of local vendors. Pre-film fun begins at 7 p.m. and the movie starts at dark. These magical movie nights are made possible by the Ginther Group, the real estate experts we trust and showcase here on the Triad Podcast Network. Check their social media for info on each upcoming movie night. And for your real estate needs, call 336-283-8689 or visit theginthergroup.com. Buying, selling, investing, or just learning. Whatever you need, start now. And like me, you can become a Ginther Group client for life.
I think this is an interesting part that maybe we don't factor in as much when it comes to overall cost, right? Mm-hmm. So let's take the public school number that you just mentioned, 104,000. That's if you fund it yourself, right?
Yeah, right.
You save for college. You've paid, and so you're paying for it. You're not taking out any loans. If you take out loans, what you're investing ends up being more because now you've got to calculate the interest that you're going to pay those loans. And so how much does that factor in? Or how much do people need to keep that in mind if they're looking at this analytically and they're saying, okay, what is my all-in investment of paying for 4 years of college if I'm trying to determine that, if I'm trying to look at this as a smart investment? So I guess it's 104,000, but if I'm borrowing 104,000, what am I actually paying?
Right. I think that's a really good point. If you had to borrow all that, I think you could probably count on maybe not quite double that amount, but close to it. Right. Because, you know, a lot of people probably do a 10-year repayment plan, though people can do different repayment plans. But if you borrowed all that, you know, and then the rate we're typically seeing on a lot of student loans is somewhere around that 6% mark. So over that period, you're going to come close to doubling that. So it might be more like 200 right over that time, which is a really great point, meaning, you know, student loans has really been a problem, right? I see it working with folks one-on-one, as I mentioned earlier, you know, with when people get out of college and they want to start toward their financial goals and maybe the loan itself is not the only thing, but if you go to try to buy a house, right. And you go, and then you need a car. Mm-hmm. And then I say to you, okay, you should really enroll in your retirement plan. You should put 10% in there. They're like, there's just not enough money, right, to do that.
Yeah. There's really not. And you know, the article that we will link to has more information about how student loans play into this, but it's important that people factor that in about what, you know, if you're going to take a student loan, look at the term of your loan, look at the interest rate and see what you're going to pay all in for that in terms of the actual number that you're putting into to college investment.
Yeah, if you want a funny story, I can kind of share one. I won't name any names, certainly.
I didn't know there were funny stories related to college.
Yeah, we got to lighten it up. I feel like we might be losing the crowd here. But years ago, this would have been at least a decade ago, if not more. And I don't remember where this student went to college, but I think it was definitely maybe on the more expensive end. But we had someone who actually worked in the office with us. She's since retired, so she's not with us now. But I believe it was maybe a niece or something. She went to her college graduation and, you know, everybody's happy for her and excited. And of course you're asking, okay, what are you going to do next? And she goes through like taking a year to travel and all these things. And that's when I believe it was her dad who said to her, now, you know, in 6 months, your student loan repayments will kick in and they're X dollars per month. And the story is that she literally burst into tears at that moment.
Oh, no.
I guess she was unaware, you know, that, which is hard for you to imagine how somebody can go get that far into it and literally be unaware that you're going to have to pay this back. But that was the story that she told about this poor, naive, you know, person. And she's definitely an adult now. That's been a long time, but I wonder how that turned out for her.
I'm glad that moving into adulthood and realizing people find these things out sometimes the hard way. Nobody listens to podcasts like this to learn these things ahead of time, right?
We've got some smart listeners, though.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Hopefully folks will there. Now, I do have some, I saw some good news in this article. I don't know if it stood out to you, too. So we could we could touch on a couple of good things like regarding student loans too, which I thought was interesting to me, because they did comment that the number or the percentage of first year students taking out loans had gone down, though it was shockingly high to me. I mean, because they mentioned that back in 2010, 2011, so a little over a decade ago, 12, 13 years ago, 50% of first-time full-time college students were taking out loans. So roughly half the people that entered college were taking out loans, which is, you know, a pretty high percentage if you think about it for the first year too. You know, it's not like you're, so you don't, you know, you're borrowing probably the whole time, I guess, in my mind, if you're starting out there. Now that number has actually dropped to 38%. I felt like that was a good sign. And that's for, I mean, that data is a little bit older. It's for 2021. So
it's still over 10 years, 12% drop in 10. That's good.
And I don't know. We don't know exactly why. I feel like that might have something to do with people being a little bit more savvy, hopefully, about, because there has been a lot of coverage about student loans and how difficult it is for people to repay. And the loan amount went down, which I thought was interesting too. So, so first time people received a little bit less in 2020, at least I guess adjusted for inflation. So people were taking out a little bit less, about, I guess, $800 less maybe. So it was a decrease at least. So fewer people are borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're borrowing a little bit less when they are. So I think that's good. I thought that was good news. So hopefully that's a trend.
Yeah.
We see that. Though it is unfortunate, I hate to also bring up a negative thing, but in spite of that, student loans as a whole for our country, though, is growing like gangbusters. I think it's just because the interest, like you were saying earlier, you know, with what, you know, how quickly the interest really grows, it's just really ballooning. Probably, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that, you know, haven't been able to pay on them, especially with student loans picking back up.
Yeah. So, yeah, fewer people are borrowing than, you know, 15 years ago. They're borrowing less than 15 years ago, but maybe what we're paying is more because of those interest rates, because of the terms getting longer. I don't know.
Because people that have borrowed from years ago are probably still paying it. I mean, they quote total student debt at $1.76 trillion.
Oh.
That's from the Federal Reserve. So I would think that's probably pretty accurate. It looks like still close to half the people that graduate will have some form of debt. So people still are taking on to some degree, you know, debt there. So it's less if you go to a public school, which makes sense. You know, we talked about the debt. So roughly half the people will have debt, and the average debt for a graduate of public university is $20,700, which is not the worst. I mean, it's like a car, I guess you could think of it that way. That's pretty reasonable. And then the average private loan debt was about $34,600 per person. Though I will say, since only half the people have debt, that average is probably a little bit skewed to where a lot of people have none, right? So, I mean, you're probably, if you have student debt, it's probably getting up there, I guess, since you know, that only represents about half the people graduating. So you may have a little bit more.
Yeah. I'll bring it back to the good news you started with, which is,
okay.
You know, I think just the fact that we have a decrease in the amount that people are borrowing, even though tuition has gone so far up over that same time.
Right.
Maybe another.
Yeah. I think it's good news. People are struggling maybe still a bit from borrowing in the past, but people are moving, I think, in the same direction. Yeah. And there are a lot of good things about having a college degree. We can't forget about that. I mean, I have an older daughter who's graduating high school this year. And so she's planning on going to school. So, you know, we definitely believe in it and don't want people to think, you know, that we're saying college is a bad thing. Both of us went to college, right? So, and it was critical, I think, for our career. So definitely we could speak to that too.
Yeah. So let's touch on one more item of this. And again, we'll link to the article, which is, you mentioned it's from Forbes. So we'll, this is kind of where we're centering our discussion, but we've talked a lot about the cost of attendance and student loans, but maybe dig in a little bit more if you could on just the ROI of all of it, because that's what we're talking about, right? Which, and the ROI is about your earnings, your salary, what you make if you end up going to college.
Yeah, that's right. Cause it is higher, right? There's a lot of variation in it, but for example, this is from 2022. So this is fairly recent. If you get a high school diploma only, your weekly average wage, if you just went to high school, is $853 a week, right? If you got a bachelor's degree, that went up a lot, you know, so it's $1,432 a week. And this is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So you're still earning a lot more, right? It's not double, but it's probably 68, almost 70% more by going to college, right? So it does make a difference, I think, as a general rule. You are going to earn more if you go to school. But I think there's probably some things, you know, we should touch on in that, because I think that's what we heard, right? Or what I heard, I should say.
Yeah.
When I was graduating.
It's what the game of life taught us, right?
Yeah, that's right. So it's like, it doesn't matter, you know, you just go, it doesn't matter what you spend on that. It doesn't matter what your degree is, was kind of the message I think we used to hear, right? And now I think people are a little bit more savvy because they know there's opportunities and things that don't require a degree, like you said. And then also amongst your major, it's interesting, like, you know, you're, that return on investment happens much more quickly and is much more profound in, for example, computer and information sciences, right? So those things, finance, accounting, electrical engineers, you know, those people saw like huge, huge returns on those investment. Other majors, not so much. I don't know. Do you want to take a gander at what majors you think might have a little bit more difficulty, or is that dangerous to ask you?
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to say the education system, correct?
You're right. Yeah. So that's one of the lower ones.
Yeah. I would imagine anything in the arts, probably.
Yeah. Fine art and liberal arts were both listed.
Podcasting.
Podcasting was not mentioned. Yeah. That was not one of them. Unless you count that in general studies, which I did not know you could get a degree in general studies, to be honest. I think that if you've gotten that far, you know, you may be one of those that just went because somebody told you to, and bless your heart, you know, and just said, you know, don't worry, it'll work out. And weren't quite sure. And I think that's where people sort of start to struggle. And I thought it was interesting that they mentioned in here that it takes, a lot of times it takes us a while, right, to see a real return, because the real return, it says on average bachelor's degree holders don't start to see a return on their college investment until they've worked full time for 15 years.
Oh.
So it's a long time for that to pay off. And I guess it's because in some careers, it takes a long time, you know, for you to really get established and start making money, but you make that investment up front.
Yeah. And that's assuming you want to stick with your career for 15 years before switching.
That's a good
say,
point. Yeah. I don't
think I want to be a doctor anymore. I want to go work for a nonprofit.
Yeah. That's true. That's true with the way people change. So you definitely want to keep that in mind, especially if you pay on your college loans for, you know, you might be still be paying on your loans for all that time. So it feels pretty bad. There are some other good things though, about having a bachelor's degree. So
yeah,
we should probably touch on that too. I don't know how many people actually meet their spouse in college too. Do you?
That's a great point. I did.
I did too.
If not for where I went to college, I would not have met mine.
Maybe not. So I think, I mean, that's some of the things that are really hard to quantify. But you know, from, because those life experiences, I would just say, like, you know, maybe be thoughtful about what you're spending, you know, to get those.
Well, but and that's the thing. It's we spend money every day without, we spend money every day on things that aren't going to put money back in our pockets. Right.
Yeah.
We spend money for food. We spend money for fun. We spend money to go on vacations and make memories and, you know, and so that's a lot of what college provides too. And I think you mentioned this, like the article says, look, this is that we're talking about this in an analytical way, but I mean, it's not just my family I have to thank for where I went to college, but some of my closest friends and networks and true.
Yeah,
I mean, the experiences and all of it. I mean, that's, we're not sitting here telling people to only think about this in a financial way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be factored in.
Part of it. Right.
But in terms of what you're investing in, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you still see, like, you know, financially, even though it's an investment, right? And you just want to think about it that way too, is what's going to be the return on that. Some of it's harder to quantify, like you said, lifetime friends, spouses, experiences, but others are easier to quantify. We will say, you know, we tend to struggle less with unemployment if you've got a college degree, right? I think even though a lot of employers are not requiring that anymore, in many cases, it's a hurdle to even be considered. And so you still see a lower unemployment if you have a bachelor's degree. I think that's good. It may not be earning as much, maybe over the high school degree as it has possibly in the past. You might still be struggling to get ahead because you feel like you're paying on student debt, but you're usually employed, right? Yep. So I think that's not a small thing that I think we have to keep in mind, is that you know, that's important, I think, for so many reasons.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Yeah. Well, Jennifer, any final thoughts on this topic? It's a great discussion and timely, hopefully, for a lot of people as they near high school graduation. And, you know, if you've got somebody graduating in high school, chances are you probably made the decision on where you're going to college. But it is something to think about, just in terms of, what exactly are you paying for? And
that's
What are your expectations about what you're paying for?
I think so. That's my hope, is not to discourage people from pursuing it, but, you know, make sure you think through, because there's now more options than ever, right? But I think also too, I really failed to touch on this probably a little bit, but there are some that, you know, maybe for-profit colleges that that have been very, you know, very aggressive in marketing in the past, right? Yep. And people have spent a lot of money there. So just be savvy is what I would say. Make sure that that if you're making that investment, you understand the cost, how you're going to pay for it, what that's going to mean, how is that program of study going to push you toward your goals? And if it's not, you know, luckily, I think there probably is a college out there or some sort of program that can work for you. And hopefully this gives you the courage to take that path, even though it might be the path less traveled to. And that'll set you up maybe better for your financial goals and your financial future, which is what I, you know, really strive to help people do.
Great conversation, and a great topic for this time of year, especially. And we always say that if you want to talk about your own situation, whether it's saving for college or something else, sit down with Jennifer. We, you know, that's what we do. We're saving for college right now. Who knows if it'll be the right choice for our kids when it comes time to do it, but
right.
we're at least planning ahead so that
somebody's,
I gotta think that at least one of them will find that college is the right path, but you know, we're hoping that we're not going to contribute to the continuing rise of student loans that are out there. But we do that through investments.
That's right.
Anyway, Jennifer, how can people get a hold of you if they want to talk about their own situation?
Yeah, people can definitely check us out online at 3magnoliasfinancialadvisors.com. That's all spelled out. That's our website. They can give us a call. We're here local to the Triad here in Winston-Salem. We're at 336-701-1600. Feel free to ask for me. You can email me directly. My email is Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, at the number 3-magnolias.com. So would love to hear from folks.
All right, Jennifer, appreciate it. Thank you so much for the conversation again, and keep those allergies in check, okay?
All right, yeah, thanks for toughing it out.
Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors, located at 110 Oakwood Drive, Suite 480, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27103. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors and Cetera Advisor Networks are not affiliated. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. The market indices discussed are unmanaged. Additional risks are associated with international investing, such as currency fluctuations, political and economic stability, and differences in accounting standards. The views depicted in this material are for information purposes only and not necessarily those of Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC. They should not be considered specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Neither Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.